Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Shelley Hare. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry, radio episode 83. For those of you who will be downloading and listening to this program later, I welcome you as well. Today, my friends, we're going to be studying the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So go ahead and get in your Bibles and open it up with me so we can read it together. And as you're doing that, let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that the words that come out of my mouth will be your words, not mine, Lord, that as we study this scripture, we will understand what is becoming a fisher of men. So we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me now to the fifth chapter of Luke. All right, we all ready? Okay. Let's begin. While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. I hope I said it right. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out ashore a distance from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the net, into deep water, and lower your net for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come help. Then came and filled both boats, so they were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell on his knees and said to Jesus, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For astonishing at the catch of a fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. See, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, like Simon Peter, he calls you and I to be fishers of men. Peter never would have considered himself, as he was growing up, to one day be preaching the word of the Lord. As he was growing up, it was only the learned men, the Pharisees. Those were the people who were the ones who were called by the Lord in his point of view, of his way of thinking, because that's how he was brought up. So, I'm sure with Simon Peter, the reason why he chose to be a fisherman as a profession was probably because his father had been a fisherman, and his father before him, fisherman. So this was the only business he knew, and he probably thought, well, I'd be passing being a fisherman onto my son. He never thought that one day he'd be a fisher of men where he would go out and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he thought that only the learned would be. The Sanhedrin were the ones who were called by God to be the ones who would be the teachers of the law. But according to what we read in the scripture, we know that Jesus commanded his disciples, which the word is for us as well, before he ascended into heaven with his Father in heaven, he said, go out there and preach to all the creatures of the world. Teach them about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And basically, that is what we're doing today. So, when we think about it, where were you in your life when you found that Jesus was your Lord and Savior? Did you ever believe that God would call you into some sort of ministry in his church to go out and reach to others, to minister, to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the answer would be no, because if you lived a different sort of life before you found Jesus, you wouldn't even think about preaching at all. You would be thinking about other things in your life that you wanted to do. But after receiving Jesus within your life, you are changed forever. Right? That is correct. Last week, on the 29th, my church family at Bethel Fellowship in McDaniels were basically doing that in Litchfield at the Litchfield Amphitheater. The church family came together. On that day, we handed out flyers to more people to come to the amphitheater later in the afternoon. We had free hot dogs, face painting, a prayer booth. We had we sold shaved ice. We had everything ready to welcome the people. Now, we didn't tell the people you can only get a free hot dog if you accept Jesus or a free shaved ice. No, we didn't do that. The part of the ministry that we did was showing people that we respected them, that we loved them, and we wanted them to know Jesus, because the fact of it is that we don't want anyone to drown in the lake of fire one day. We want people to come alive. We don't want people to live a walking death. We want people to live a living life. And I would say things went well. We had one of our deacons, we talked to this young man, and he felt obligated to talk to him. He talked to this young man for over an hour, and he still didn't know that if he got through to this young man or not. He would later find out that this young man came to Bethel Fellowship and McDaniels and brought his family with him, and they were at the altar. So I would say that the Kingdom Fest, that's what we called it, that it was a success, because if a soul, one soul or more, came to Jesus Christ, it was a success. I also would say it was a success because we planted the seeds out there for people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, afterwards, we had Jacob Swift, Gina, and Heather Hodges come up there and speak afterwards, and the words out there, I would say, planted the seeds. And right there, we were doing what the Lord wanted us to do, go out there and make bishops of men. Peter never thought when Jesus called him on that boat that day that Jesus would call him into the ministry. What he probably thought was that Jesus wanted to use his boat. He was going to let him preach on his boat, teach the people. But he never knew that he was going to call him into ministry, because then what did Jesus do? He told him to throw his net over in another direction. He said, okay, fine. He probably had doubts that there any more fish would come, but he was going to listen to him just the same, and he was overwhelmed by how much fish that he caught, because this is probably the most fish he ever caught in his life. And so here he is now worshiping the Lord, and he even said he was a dreadful sinner. Did he not now? But Jesus didn't poo-poo that and say, yes, you are. who said, "Follow me and I'll make you into a fisher of men." Think of Peter was calling himself a sinful man in front of Jesus, and yet Jesus called him into ministry. You out there who think that if you come to Christ, that you will be rejected by him because of the sins of the past that you have done, that he will never forgive you. Well, what did he tell Peter right over here? "Come, and I'll make you a fisher of men." And we know he made Peter a fisher of men because on the day of Pentecost, when the Lord's Holy Spirit came right into Peter, Peter brought in thousands and thousands of people that day. And a lot of people were saved, and he brought many more in later on in his ministry. He did become a fisher of men. He started his ministry in Israel. But he ended his ministry in Rome, and he was crucified upside down by the Romans. So we know Peter did become a fisher of men. And that's what Christ called you and I to be, fishers of men. We go out there and we tell people about Jesus Christ. I don't mean going up there and acting obnoxious about it. No, we go up there and we talk to people in a conversation about Jesus. And we just plant the seed. It's up to that individual who wants to receive Jesus to accept him or not. But if we see that same individual, and if they still didn't receive the Lord, still are rejecting the Lord, well, we still treat them nice. Do we not now? Sure we do. And we keep praying for them. But if they're, we know that people are hungry out there for the Lord, because if they're willing to listen to you talk about the Lord, there's a hunger out there. They want to know who Jesus is. They want to know why he died for our sins. And they want to know if their past could be taken away. Many people out there, they know about their mistakes they have done in their life, and they wish somehow they could go back in time and change time so they wouldn't do that same thing that they did a long time ago, because now they regret it. But the good news is, you can change that. You say, "Well, how can you change time?" By accepting Christ as your Savior. Because once Christ accepts you, once you accept Christ as your Savior, you are part of the family of God. Let me say that again. Once you accept Christ as your Savior and let His Holy Spirit baptize you with fire, your sins are forgiven you. You are now a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. You are now a new person. And God doesn't look at you as an old person who you once were. He's already forgotten what you did a long time ago that was so horrible. He don't think of you that way anymore, as someone who was separated from him, someone who was lost. He now thinks of you as his child. So, if you want to change your past by accepting Jesus Christ, you've done so. You've changed your past to your Father in Heaven's eyes, because no more is he going to look back and see what you did. He's going to see who you are now. So rejoice, for the Father in Heaven is merciful. The Father in Heaven has a way to bring you back home, and it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. His name will bring you back home if you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to keep on thinking about the guilt that you once did a long time ago. You know you made a bad mistake, but our Lord in Heaven will never look at that past sin no more, because he even said he'll throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. Because right there, you have changed your future by changing your past, because the Lord is now looking at you as a new creature. And what I mean by that is that when you were baptized by the Lord Jesus Christ, the old you dies, and the resurrected you, your spiritual resurrection, comes out from that water, and now you are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're no longer that old person no more. You are now a new creature. and being a new creature in Jesus Christ means you are born again. Your story in the book of life begins when you come out of that water, when you are baptized, when you are now set free from a chain of sin. You are now a new creature. That is when your story begins, and your story doesn't have that past sin that you once did. Get it? And now, what do you do with your new gift? You grow. You study the Bible. You study God's Word because the Bible is the only book in the world that has living words talking to you. You can read a novel. You can read other books out there in the world, but they're not living words that could teach you anything to live by, or the Lord to contact you by, to talk to you. What the Bible is, when you read through it, because you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and the Holy Spirit's revealing to you what's in the Scripture and what it means. That is the good news. So no more of thinking that you're now not worthy to follow God. And even when you are saved, you don't have to think of yourself as not worthy of taking communion, not worthy of being baptized, not worthy of going out there and telling others about Jesus Christ. For everyone is worthy. You follow Christ Jesus. Christ told us what to do. And guess what, my friends? You don't have to go to seminary there and tell others about Jesus Christ. Wait a minute, sir. Someone might say he's part of a religious institution. I think you're wrong, Mr. Harris. Before you should teach anyone about Jesus Christ, you must go through 4 years of college, get a diversity degree from the best theological schools in the country, be taught by the great professors who know all the knowledge of Christ, and study the Greek philosophies of the time. And when once you do that, then you become a preacher. Oh, and by the way, what tracks are you born from? Oh, you're part of the wrong side of the tracks. Well, we can't use you, Mr. Hare. Because in the ministry, we expect to be in the ministry. Doctors, lawyers, and businessmen. Those are the only people who have the intelligence enough to know what the gospel is. But you cannot do that because what kind of education you have? Oh, I'm sorry about that. But you cannot get past the material side if we cannot go into the ministry. Sorry about that. Oh, I'm not laughing at you, just my nervous laugh. Oh, yes. Now go away, boy. You're bothering me now. So, like, let me go around and now I'm going to preach the gospel. The watered-down version of... I can't read that. I have something about sin in here. And someone might be offended by that one. Let's see. What can I read here in the Bible right now? Well, basically, I can't do nothing about read the Bible about right now. I can tell you a good moral movie review and compare it to the walk of Jesus Christ. So I'm like, Peter's denial of Jesus Christ. But you know what? Let me tell you about a good movie. It's called Fight Club. Huh? Peter denies Jesus 3 times in the movie Fight Club. I don't get it. Of course you don't, young man. Because you're not educated and I don't have a theological education as I do, I understand. Okay, I was a bit goofing off a little bit here, but you can understand my thinking, because I know that in some denominations they try not to get people who believe they're called into ministry, because I've actually heard a district superintendent say that they're looking for... This is the district superintendent of the Methodist Church. He said they're looking for doctors, lawyers, and businessmen to come into the ministry. And just say if you didn't have a college education quite yet, they didn't want you to come in either because they didn't think you were smart enough to get a college education. And the fact of it is, here's the dirty little secret that they're not telling you in these denominations. You don't have to get an education to teach about the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you receive that Holy Spirit, you'll know what to say, because Jesus even told you about that. He told his disciples, "Don't worry about what they're going to say, because the Father will tell him." And who is the Father? He is the Holy Spirit as well, is he not now? So the Holy Spirit tells him what to say. We praise Peter for that great sermon he did in the Book of Acts, but yet he could never have made that great sermon if not for the Holy Spirit speaking to him. It was really the Holy Spirit speaking through Peter to touch that many in the crowd's heart. So, you can have an 8th grade education, you can have a 6th grade education, or no education at all. If the Holy Spirit touches you and you are saying things and you're prophesizing and all this and you're doing healing services and you're speaking in tongues and you're out there preaching the gospel about the Lord Jesus Christ and you're bringing people in, that's all that matters. Because by faith in Jesus, by when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and by that I mean you are now covered by his grace, and now you are following him, and that, and you're receiving him each day in your life through the Holy Spirit, and now you're able to do it. Now, I know that religion has made it sort of impossible for people to get into the ministry because they do have that Pharisee attitude where during the time of Jesus, religious leaders who were supposed to teach the Word of God were people who had a high education. You had to have a high education, and you probably came from a good family as well. What is a good family, really? Usually the same people with money are people with good families, but there's plenty of people who are poor or middle class or blue-collar workers or good families as well, but our society looks at things to this day. We say a good family is someone with money. Well, I've known plenty of people with money who were actually snobs, and I know some people who were poor who could be mean as a rich person, or the person in the middle class or the blue collar worker. They could be just as mean as the poor person. But I see many people who come to Christ who are rich, poor, blue collar, and middle class. They are good because they're happy because they're working with the Lord Jesus Christ and them happy. Now, we have to watch out in the church to start believing in our religion, to thinking that only the people who come from divinity schools, who are well-educated, who come from rich families, they're the only ones who are supposed to be in the ministry and teach and preach the word of the Lord and be fishers of men. The Lord doesn't tell us that. Jesus didn't say nowhere in the four Gospels that only people who are rich and well-educated should teach his gospel. In fact, when you have that Holy Spirit in you, you already got your doctorate right there in heaven, right there. Your doctorate's right there. So go out there and don't be afraid to teach about the Lord. And we should hold no one back who says, "I feel God calling me." The thing of it is, when God calls you, you know he's calling you, and why would God deny you to go out there and preach if you're called by it, right? If you feel God calling you and you're saying the right words that God has taught us to say, why would he then deny you? That'd be like an author of confusion, would he not now? So if you feel a calling, don't put it away, because you know you're walking with the Lord. And follow what he wants you to do. And preach and teach what he wants you to preach and teach. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you, and you can teach. But the thing of it is, we shouldn't have worldly barriers to prevent our brother or sister from going out there and telling others about Jesus Christ. Because when we start doing that, we're getting in God's way. We're getting into Jesus' way. We're not helping the body of Christ. We're not helping teaching Jesus' ministry. We're standing in Jesus' way about someone in there doing his what ministry. Because what does Christ call us to do who follow him? make all fishers of men. And granted, you are better speakers than others, but that is okay. We're all doing the same work. We're all doing the same job. Sometimes we think we can't be go out there and preach because we're not very good at public speaking. But again, what does Jesus say? Do not worry what comes out of your mouth, because you'll know what to say when you say it, because the Holy Spirit will be with you when you do say it. So you have no fear of thinking, what should I say? What should I do? What if I stand up there in front of people and don't say a word? Well, don't be afraid. Let the Lord take over, for He knows what He wants you to say, and relax and enjoy yourself. Have fun and let the Holy Spirit talk through you, because there is someone out there who is hungry to know the Lord, and the Lord is using you to talk to that person, to preach to that person, to go out there and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ, so they too can come home and feel the same experience you feel, so they too can follow Jesus and be free from the sin that's been making them miserable for years, and be a child of God, and be your brother, and be your sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, and be a fisher of men. Don't worry about your past sin. Peter admitted to Jesus that he was a sinner and unworthy of him. But Jesus told him he was going to make him a fisher of men, because God is not a pious God. He wants you and I home, and He's willing to throw away our past so we can come home to Him. He wants that special relationship He has with you. We know by reading about the life of Jesus in the four Gospels, we understand the heart of God the Father, which I have to say this, that which is hard for some people who don't understand it, but believe that Jesus is the Father. What do I mean by that? Because God came down from eternity, where time has no bearing on Him, and came into time as a man. And it's hard to explain, but to you who understand, but Jesus is not God Jr. He is the Lord. He is the Lord God, but He came down as a man. But yet, spiritually, He was up there in heaven as well. And He's also the Holy Spirit, because God can be anywhere He wants to, because He is who He is. You and I cannot fathom hardly about this. If you don't believe, it's because we are human beings. And for us, we are who we are. But we can someplace out two different places at the same time. But see, there's no time barriers on our Lord. So yes, the Lord had to become the last Adam so you and I can receive His forgiveness, so you and I can continue His ministry until He returns. So go out there, my friend. Be fishers of men. Be bold in Jesus Christ. And be that person whom the Lord knows you can be. The one who's out there fishing for men and women to know the Lord Jesus Christ, so they will have eternal life with their Heavenly Father, who loves them so dearly that He came down to earth to be a man, to die for our sins, and rise in 3 days, and bless us with His Holy Spirit, so we may live with Him. The kingdom of heaven is right now in our hearts. Wherever we go is where the kingdom of heaven is. And with the kingdom of heaven follows the Lord. And where we go, the Lord is. We are bringing the kingdom of heaven to people who do not know them, who do not know our Father in heaven. So they too will experience the same feeling, the same reward, and the same family with our Lord Jesus Christ. my friends, I'm going to stop here for now. I'll be back again this week, teach another things of our holy word of the Bible. My friends, I hope that you all understood being said this evening. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life. May God always guide you in your walk with Him. May the Lord Jesus Christ always bless your life. And my friends, if you feel called out there to talk to people about Jesus Christ, go out there, my friends, then, and make fishers of men. I want to thank you all, my friends. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life. And may God bless your life forever. I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.